throughout the dimension, we trust that God is with us as we seek to preach the message of the gospel. If you have a Bible, let's read first of all, please, in the first epistle of John, and in chapter number 4, the first epistle of John, and in chapter number 4, please. First John chapter 4 and verse number 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. 1 Corinthians, please, and in chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians and chapter number 1, please. First Timothy 1 and verse number 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the writer says of whom I am chief. First Corinthians, please, and in chapter number 15. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen. And the final verse, please, in Acts of the Apostles, and in chapter number 4. Acts chapter 4, and we read verse number 12, please. Acts chapter 4, and verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And for this evening, God will add a blessing to the public reading of this precious word. I want very shortly this evening to present the Lord Jesus to you from these verses which we have read together very simply, and we trust clearly that you understand the message of the gospel tonight. And if as yet you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, you may understand that you need to trust him. And you may understand tonight that there is one who is ready to meet you in all your needs. And that is God's Son, the Lord Jesus. And we trust that through these verses tonight that you may understand your need. But understand that there is one who is willing to meet you in all your need, and is willing to forgive you of your sins, and is willing to prepare you and fit you for an eternity with him in heaven. And my friend, that is the great message of the gospel, that it can change men and women's lives. It can change their destiny, not only in time, but for eternity. And those who are on a downward journey away from going to a lost eternity, tonight can know the joy of sins forgiven through trusting Jesus Christ as your Saviour. And know that all is well for the great eternity if you trust Jesus Christ as your Saviour. I want to bring before you four very simple things from the verses that we've read together tonight. From 1 John chapter 4, we read this: that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. And I want to think of the Son who was sent. The Bible says the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. But when we turn our attention to 1 Timothy and in chapter number 1, I don't want so much to think of a Son who was sent. But in 1 Timothy chapter 1, we want to think of the willingness of the Son to come. For we read that Christ Jesus came. And when we turn our attention to 1 Corinthians and in chapter number 15, we're going to learn the purpose to why he was sent. And the purpose why he was willing to come was that he would die for our sins, that he would be buried, that he would rise again, and the Bible says that he was seen. Fundamentals to the message of the gospel tonight. Yes, there was one who came. Yes, there was one who died. But there was one who was buried and who rose again. And there's one who is alive tonight, and he's in heaven, and he wants to be your Saviour. The question tonight is, will you be willing to come and trust him as your Saviour? And finally, we turn our attention to Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. having presented the Lord Jesus, the writer says that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Can I ask you kindly, each person this evening right at the outset of the meeting, I wonder, have you been saved? I wonder tonight, have you personally trusted Jesus Christ as your Saviour? Has there been that moment when you realised, yes, and understood, yes, I am a guilty sinner, but on the cross at Calvary, the Lord Jesus died that my sins might be forgiven, and you personally came, repented and turned from your sin, and trusted the Lord Jesus as your Saviour? I wonder, from the back of the front to the front of the hall, tonight in the presence of God, have your sins been forgiven? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Saviour? Is all well for the great eternity? We read at the end of Acts chapter 4, one of the greatest necessities in life. It says, we must be saved. Asking you kindly in the presence of God tonight, are you saved? Have your sins been forgiven? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Saviour? Can you put your head on the pillow tonight and know of a surety, know with confidence that all is well with your soul for eternity? My friend, if not all is well with your soul tonight, then God has been good and kind to you, for He's given you another opportunity tonight to hear of one who loves you, and to hear of one who died upon a cross at Calvary, a place called Calvary, that you might be saved, that your sins might be forgiven, that you can know the joy of the forgiveness of sins, that you can come in, you can be a possessor of eternal life if you trust Jesus Christ as your Saviour. We read in 1 John chapter 4 this evening that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. You see, the man who is writing these words is a man called John. And John had the privilege of being with the Lord Jesus while he was here on earth. And what a privilege he must have had. He was one of the three closest disciples to the Lord Jesus while he was here on earth. And he went about with him. Everywhere he went, he was there. And he's the privilege of hearing him speak. I wonder what it must have been like to hear the Lord Jesus speak. But not only did John hear him speak, but John saw the miracles which he did. I wonder what it must have been like to, as he changed the water into wine, as he would raise the dead, as he would touch the eyes of the blind and make them see, and as he would heal the leper, and the wonders and the miracles that the Lord Jesus did. I wonder what it must have been like just to be with him and to have seen these things taking place. And John, as he's writing of those things which he had seen, and he was able to testify about, and he comes to the conclusion that the Father has sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. He realised this one whom he had an association with, the one who was doing these miracles, the one who could speak so tenderly, so gracious, was no ordinary man. But this one whom he saw and who witnessed and associated with was none other than the eternal Son of God, God manifest in the flesh. It's hard for you and I to understand that there was a man on this earth who was totally different from every other being. And that person was the Son of God. And he was different, for he was holy. He was sinless. He never done anything wrong. And you and I go from day to day. We only need to look all around us and to listen to the news, and we find there are those who do wrong. But my friend, we might acknowledge that others have done wrong. And we might even think that our neighbours have done wrong, or someone else in our family has done wrong. But I wonder if they look into their own heart, and we ever acknowledge that we have done wrong. And the things that we have done wrong, the Bible calls sin. And sin is that which is separated between you and God. And my friend, this evening, no matter who we are, as God looks down from heaven, he had to say that there is no difference for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No matter how respectable we think we might be, and no matter what others might think about us, as God looks down from heaven tonight, he sees us all the same. He sees that we are sinners. And as a result of our sin, we are separated from him. We are at a distance from him. But out of love for you and for me, he doesn't leave us at a distance from him. But out of love for us, he has sent his Son that he might bring us back to himself. He has sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, to be the Saviour, to be our deliverer from our sin. And he has sent him to be our Saviour. And the one who has come to be the Saviour is none other than God's Son, the Lord Jesus. And our verse says that the Father, that is God, has sent the Son, the Lord Jesus, to be the Saviour of the world. John chapter 3 verse 17 says that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, because of our sin we are separated from God. Because of our sin we are at a distance from God. But my friend, this evening God hates our sin, but he loves you, and he loves me as an individual. And out of love for you, and out of love for me, he was willing to send his Son from heaven to be our Saviour. My friend, this evening you and I are those who are in this world. And if you and I are those whose sin has to be forgiven, then out of love he sent his Son to be our Saviour. I wonder tonight, is he your Saviour? There are those who could say and knew about the Lord Jesus, and they could say, yes, he is the Saviour. Perhaps you understand tonight that he is the Saviour. But if you understand tonight, can you say that he's my Saviour? There was a woman called Mary in the Bible, and she could say that her spirit did rejoice in God, my Saviour. You see, it's personal. But it's personal for her, she could say that he's my Saviour. I can say that he's my Saviour tonight. What about you? Can you say that he's my Saviour? This one who is sent to be the Saviour of the world. I'm glad he's the Saviour. I'm glad that he can be your Saviour tonight. But I wonder, are you willing to come and trust him? God has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. The eternal Son of God. Come into this world that he may be your Saviour and mine. He was sent from heaven, and he came into this world of ours. 1 Timothy chapter 1 says that this is a faithful saying. Here is something which is trustworthy. Here is something which can be relied upon tonight. For here is a message which comes from the God of heaven, the God who cannot lie. The writer of the Hebrews says that it is impossible for God to lie. So here is a faithful message. Here is something which is trustworthy. Here is something which can be accepted by you tonight. This is a faithful saying. And it's worthy to be accepted by all that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. My friend, this evening I'm glad there was one who came. I'm glad there was one who was sent from heaven. But I'm glad to tell you tonight of the Son who was willing to come. And he came from heaven into this world of ours. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to save folks like you and I. And glad tonight there was one who came. The Bible says that when the fullness of the time has come, that God sent forth his Son. And there was one who came down from heaven into this world. We remember at Christmas time the fact that he came, and he was born on that day in Bethlehem, but in another, when the eternal Son of God, he came to Bethlehem. The Bible tells us that he came to Nazareth, where he lived and where he grew up. The Bible says that he came to Jericho. There were those in Jericho who came and who trusted him. He visited Capernaum. He visited a place called Calvary. These places that he came to, he physically came. The Lord Jesus himself said that I came down from heaven, and he came with a purpose, not to do his own will, but the will of the Father which sent him. And he came into this world of ours. This is a faithful step, and worthy of your acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now that's why he came. He came not to condemn. He came not to judge. But he came to save. Folks like you and I, I can't understand that this evening. By the God of heaven, we love someone like me, who had sinned, who was separated from him because of sin. But yet out of love he was willing to send his Son into this world, that he may be your Saviour. My friend, we should ever be thankful for a moment when Christ came. But my friend, we'll be singing tonight of a moment that he'll come again. He came the first time, the Bible says, to deal with the problem of sin. He's coming the second time to take those who have trusted in him to be with him and to be with him for all of eternity. What about you tonight? If he fulfills his promise and comes before this meeting, draws to a close, would you go? Or would you be left behind? Have you trusted Christ and know that you'd be in heaven? Or at this moment in time, are you still in your sins? And you'd be lost and in hell and in the lake of fire. For up until this moment, you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. He came to save you. He's able to save you. He's willing to save you. The question tonight, are you willing to come and to trust him as your Saviour? Yes, there was one who came. Yes, there was one who was sent, and there was one who came. But my friend, why did he come? Why did he come? Well, Paul tells in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that Christ died for our sins. Our sins. That's why he came. He had none. He was holy. He was spotless. He was pure. The Bible puts it like this: he did no sin. He knew no sin. And in him, there is no sin. And yet, this one who was holy, this one who did always those things that pleased God, the Father in heaven, was the one who came and who died for our sins. He bore, Peter said, our sins in his own body on the tree. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. At a place called Calvary, Christ died. This was no afterthought on the plan of God. Just as there was that moment when he would come, so there was that moment when he would arrive at the place called Calvary. And the Bible says, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. There the Lord Jesus died for our sins. And what happened at Calvary? They took him. and he nailed his hands to the cross. He nailed his feet. He pierced his side. They spat upon his face. They plucked the hairs from his cheek. They whipped his back. They mocked him. They jeered him. As they took the Son of God and they inflict pain and suffering upon him. And while men did this to the Son of God, the Bible says that when the sun should be there at its brightest, there was a darkness over all the earth. And during 3 hours of darkness, God punished his Son on account of our sin. And in those hours of darkness, alone in a place called Calvary, Christ died for our sins. What happened? God punished his Son. The punishment that my sin deserved. The punishment that your sin deserved. The Lord Jesus, the one who took the sinner's place, and to suffer the agonies and the punishment of God for sin upon the cross, in order that we might have our sins forgiven. The Bible says, Christ died for our sins. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Upon the cross, the Lord Jesus died. Upon the cross, he suffered. Upon the cross, he shed his precious blood in order that our sins may be forgiven. My friend, to me, that's how much God loves you. That not only was he willing to send his Son from heaven, but that the Son was willing to come. That the Son was willing to go to the place called Calvary, and there he would be punished for our sins. And after he had suffered, he was heard to cry with a loud voice, "It is finished." And upon the cross at Calvary, the work of salvation was accomplished. God was satisfied with the work of his Son. The loving hands took him down from that cross. And they laid him in a new tomb. And on the third day he rose again. And my friend, this evening, there's a loving Savior. This one that we present to you tonight is one, yes, who died. Yes, was buried. But on the third day, he rose again. And 40 days later, he ascended back into heaven. And he sat there at God's right hand. His work finished, the work which he came to do. And he's sitting there at God's right hand. Awaiting that moment when he shall come to take all those who have entrusted in him to be with him for all of eternity. What his great desire this evening is this, that you might come to him. His great desire is that you might trust him. His great desire is that you might be with him in heaven. And how is it possible? It's possible if you trust him. It's possible if you acknowledge that you are a sinner. And acknowledge that on the cross at Calvary, that Christ died for your sin. That he took your place. That he bore the punishment that you deserve. And you come from your sin. And you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. The Lord Jesus is standing with open arms to me. He's offering salvation. He's offering forgiveness of sin. What are you going to do? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ the Lord. The gift of forgiveness of sins. The gift of eternal life. And the gift of salvation through the person of God's Son, the Lord Jesus, has been offered. What are you going to do? Well, I guess you either accept it or you reject it. What are you going to do with God's gift this evening of His beloved Son? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The one that God's offering you, eternal life, forgiveness of sins. What are you going to do? Are you going to accept it? And know the joy of sins forgiven? Know peace with God? Know heaven is your eternal home? Okay, but he's going to refuse. Put it off another thing. I say the one thing that he put it off. Maybe last time you will hear the message of the gospel being presented. Maybe the last time you hear God speaking to you through it. And you can find yourself lost for all of eternity. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried, He rose again, and He was seen. There were those who saw Him, there were those who witnessed the fact that He was living. My friend, I tell you, He's alive today. He's a living Saviour. He wants to be your Saviour. What will you do with this one who was sent? With this one who came, with this one who suffered and bled and died, that your sins may be forgiven. Luke said in Acts chapter 4 that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. My friend, He's the only one who can save you. If you point your face to Him tonight, He will save you if you will trust Him. He will save you. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not a work for it, any man can. We cannot work for it. We cannot earn for it. We cannot pay for it. It's all has been done. And through this man, the Lord Jesus, has preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. What will your response be to him? Do you trust him? And though you refuse, how sad if you refuse to accept Him and you find yourself in a lost eternity. And to remember the opportunity that you had to have your sins forgiven, and you find yourself separated not only in pain, but for all of eternity, and have to face the Lord Jesus in a coming day as your judge, and to hear His words, depart from me, I never knew. What will you do with the person of the Lord Jesus this evening? You trust that you know I'm not as your Saviour, that you will trust Him. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you again this evening for thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you again for one who has come and who has provided salvation. And we long again this evening that in the little room this evening, you know I'm not the Saviour, may understand the need of Him and may come and trust Him as their own and as their personal Saviour. We thank you again for the opportunity of reading from thy word and hearing of thy Son, to again thy blessing to your upon. Separate us with thy blessing, to teach us home safely to pray, as we come and thank again for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in his holy and precious name.